talking about the difference between greeting and quenching fire. Stuck there at the top, though, we'll start with that, and then we'll get into the words of wisdom, words of knowledge, etc. So the difference between quenching and greeting, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Do not quench the Spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all, hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil." So first it says, do not quench, and then it gives an example of what it means. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. So the way we quench the Spirit is through contempt, through, you know, how do you quench a fire? You throw water on it, right? So it's the same thing. We quench the Spirit by, in a sense, throwing water on what the Spirit is trying to do. Whether it's through contempt or bad attitude, or just trying to shut down the Spirit, that's quenching. So it can be a quench a fire. Then Ephesians 4:30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Understand this, you need to look at the whole context of that passage. So Ephesians 4:29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that they benefit those who listen.
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God Christ forgave you." So it says, do not grieve, and then again it gives examples: bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, malice. So grieving is related to sin. Quenching is related to throwing water on what the Spirit is doing, so to speak. So we quench the Spirit when we shut it down. We grieve the Spirit with our own bad behavior and sin. All right, hopefully that was reasonably clear. Now, one other thing before we jump into the text. So I had just seen this in something I was reading the other day, and so I put it in here. Things that do not impress God in the prophetic. Accurate words of knowledge. So God's not impressed when you get an accurate word of knowledge. It was His working anyway, right? Miracles, manifestations, floating around from church to church. I love it when someone shows up at our church here and announces that they're a prophet. I usually respond with, "Great, I'm Mother Teresa." And number 5, having no accountability in your life. Things that do bless the heart of God in the prophetic. Personal character and integrity, healthy marriage and kids, faithfully committed to one spiritual family, humility in a servant's heart, and speaking the truth in love. And remember, we started last week by saying that 1 Corinthians 13 is sandwiched in between 12 and 14. 12 and 14 where it talks about all the gifts. 13 talks about love. Remember, we do all of this in love. But there is this idea of character and integrity that comes with any of these gifts, especially words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and the prophetic. And seriously, you got these people that just float around from church to church and they claim they're a prophet. And we've had our fair share that show up here, and I'm always just like, "Yeah, okay, I'm Mother Teresa. Have a nice day." And I don't deal with that. Now, throughout tonight, as I explain all of this, I'm going to share lots of stories to help you visualize and understand what these gifts look like. I have lots of stories because I've had lots of opportunities. And I share these stories to encourage you that you can do the same. I don't share these stories because I want you to think, "Oh, I'm great." I'm just trying to help you understand what some of this looks like. And it will seem like I have a lot of stories because I do, because I've been doing this for a long time. I kind of head up the prophetic ministry for the broader Midwest Vineyard, and so every year there's an annual conference. This year it's been canceled because of COVID, but up in Green Lake, Wisconsin, usually the first week of November we have an annual conference, and one whole day is for self-care kind of thing, and people can set up appointments with me. They can come in for 15 minutes, and I'll just pray over them prophetically for 15 minutes, and I'll do that for 8 hours on the Wednesday of that week of that conference. And I've been doing that for years, and so I've just had opportunities to do this a lot. It's invigorating. Oh, gosh, yeah. I'll share some stories with you, and you'll understand why. It's the best thing in the world. Yeah, it's really cool. All right. You got to exercise your gift. Yeah, and it, what I have found in that kind of an intense environment when I'm doing it for 8 hours, I always feel sorry for the first 2 or 3 people that come in, because my gift is there, but it's, you know, by the time you get to the 3rd or 4th person, you're kind of getting in the zone, you know? And by the end of the day, I can tell people their social security numbers, you know? I mean, it's crazy because you just get ramped up as you go through the day. No. Has Amy told you that joke? Yeah. Years ago, somebody had given my kids the game Clue, where you take two cards and you stick it in an envelope, and then you spend the whole game trying to figure out what two cards are in the envelope. I just looked at the envelope and I could see them. To me, it was just plain as day. And so I'm making really dumb moves through the whole game, and all of a sudden, my wife is like, "What are you doing? That's the stupidest move ever." She's like, "You know, don't you?" I'm like, "Yeah." Or I'd play Battleship with my son, and I'd always blow up all his ships right away. He's like, "Dad, how come you always win?" I'm like, "Because I can see them. I could just close my eyes and I could see them. I could just tell right where they were." All right, anyway, let's jump into the text. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 is where we're going to start. We'll hit into 1 Corinthians 14 a little bit later. "To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, and to another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit." So we see our first two gifts here in this verse, message of wisdom and message of knowledge, all by the same Spirit. Let's start with wisdom, since that's first. Now, the word translated here as wisdom means wisdom, insight, intelligence, or wisdom of God. The best way to think about this from the Greek word is the wisdom of God. In fact, the actual word that's translated there as knowledge is esoteric knowledge. So it's the wisdom of God. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead to the next one there. This first gift of wisdom, it's the understanding of the message of the wisdom of God. Things about the kingdom that you wouldn't know through ordinary means. A word of knowledge, the word knowledge is esoteric knowledge. I'm sorry, I got that out of place there. So the Spirit gives us wisdom to help us understand the things of God, is what this amounts to. Maybe you're talking to someone and you think of a way of helping them understand something like forgiveness or a passage in the Bible. That may have been a message of wisdom, an insight into the things of God. Now, a word of wisdom is also often a one-time thing. A word of wisdom will typically only work and be applicable in that situation. Don't automatically try to use it in every similar situation. That applies to all the gifts. It is situational wisdom. But some people are going to simply operate in this gift of wisdom as a ongoing gift. And I try to think about what would be a great example. I think Ravi Zacharias. Do you guys know who Ravi Zacharias was? He died earlier this year, I believe, actually. But that man had extraordinary wisdom into the things of God. And he would debate atheists all the time and just crush them, because he had such an incredible wisdom. So he was operating in the gift of wisdom, the wisdom of God. Well, like if he's in a debate with an atheist and the atheist just springs a question on him, well, what about this? His response is in the moment. He may have heard that question before, but he's just remembering what the word of wisdom that he had before. But yeah, the message of knowledge or words of knowledge is what they're often called. A word of knowledge can be describing a problem or an issue that may exist. A word of knowledge can often be the solution to that problem or that situation. So sometimes you might have a word of knowledge about a problem, and then you'll get a word of wisdom that is the solution to the problem. But this is not "thus saith the Lord" kind of thing. This tends to be past tense, something that did happen, but you would have no way of knowing. I'm going to give you an example in a minute. But it's for the benefit and encouragement of someone or the church. And we're going to really hound that in a minute when we get to that verse. God will reveal these things to us because he wants to heal us or set us free. So again, there are some people who are just going to operate in this gift of having words of knowledge. And again, I'm going to give you an example in just a minute, but let's hit verse 10 here. Verse 10 says, "To another, miraculous powers, and to another, prophecy." We're only going to cover prophecy tonight because we're going to do miraculous powers and healing next week. Now, the word translated here as prophecy can mean an inspired utterance or preaching the message of God. This is more of the "thus saith the Lord" kind of thing versus words of knowledge. This can be a call for people to live in God's way. This can be knowing the future. In the Old Testament, we see many prophets prophesy that destruction was coming, particularly if the people didn't follow God's ways. Today, under the New Covenant, it will, of course, look different. We have the cross of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, so this is going to look different than it did for Old Testament prophets. Today, this tends to be knowing something in the future. Again, it is for the benefit and encouragement for others and the church, for the common good. In the vineyard, we exercise this gift very carefully. We don't run around trying to predict the end of the world or giving out messages like repent or burn. Be careful of prophets who are always giving out real negative words. And of course, we believe that any prophetic word that the Lord would give us, first, will not disagree in any way with Scripture. Second, it is for building up of the body of Christ. Now, remember a couple weeks ago, I preached on the message, on that passage from John 5 that says, where Jesus says, I can only do what I see the Father doing. With all of these gifts, we operate in the gift. We can only do what we see the Father doing. We can't just jump out and decide we're going to do something, right? So a number of years ago, I had been invited to speak at another church on a Sunday morning, and I'm preparing my message. And as I'm preparing my message at home, the Father speaks to me very clearly and says, when you get to this church on that Sunday, before you preach, I want you to give prophetic words. And I'm like, really? Gulp, okay. So I get to this church, and they met in an old movie theater, so like the seats kind of went up, you know, toward the back, and I'm up on a stage, and the spotlights were on me, and so I couldn't really see the congregation that well because of the lights. But the Lord had said, I want you to give prophetic words before you preach. So I just started, and I said, all right, this is what I see the Father doing, so I'm going to start with some prophetic words before I preach. And I could see a man way in the back, in the very back row. I could only see him because he was wearing a bright white dress shirt, or I could have not seen him way back there. It was a Hispanic church, too, so I could only see him because of that white shirt back there. And so what I had for him, it's a combination of a word of knowledge and a prophetic word, okay? So I had him stand up, and I said, you're unemployed, aren't you? And he says, yes. That was a word of knowledge. How else would I have known that he was unemployed? I'd never met him before. I didn't know who he was, right? I just randomly call him out, and I say, you're unemployed. He says, yes. He confirms it. And now I switch from a word of knowledge to a prophecy, and I say, you're about to go back to work. Within the next 2 weeks, you will get a job at a place that is very familiar to you, but against all expectations. It's going to seem crazy and out of the world, but it's a place you're familiar with, and it will happen within the next 2 weeks. See, now that's prophetic. I'm saying something that's going to happen in the future. Exactly 2 weeks later, the pastor of that church called me. He said, you remember that word you gave for that guy in the back about his job? I said, yeah. And he goes, yeah, he was unemployed. He had been a construction project manager, but the project that he had been hired to manage had run out of funds, and so they'd laid him off. And he never thought he'd go back to work for that company. Well, exactly 2 weeks to the day of me giving him that word, the company calls and says, hey, we got new funding. The project is back on. Would you like to come back to work for us and finish the project? So it was a place that he was familiar with, but it was really against all odds. He never thought he'd go back to that same company. So in that one word, it was both a word of knowledge and a prophecy, all right? We'll get to that. We'll cover that tonight. Yeah, we'll cover that tonight and we'll practice it. He says with a sinister laugh. All right. Of this gift, Paul says, of this gift of prophecy, in 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. I want to read to you a paragraph out of this little book. This book is called The Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gift by Sam Storms. I'll hold it up so the online audience can see it. This is a really good primer. It says the beginner's guide. It is very much a beginner's guide, very basic. But he says this, speaking about this verse that I just read, 1 Corinthians 14:1, this is truly an astounding statement. Paul was not merely suggesting that prophecy is a good gift. He was commanding that we earnestly desire to exercise this gift in the local body. This is not an option. Paul did not give us a choice. His words leave us little room for maneuvering. The point is this: if you are not earnestly desiring to prophesy, you are not praying. If you are not praying for opportunity and occasion to speak prophetically into the lives of the church and other believers, you are disobeying God. The pursuit of prophecy is a moral and spiritual obligation to which we must devote ourselves. That's a pretty strong statement. But those are the words of Sam Storm in his book. It's not allowed in many churches, that's for sure. Yeah. And even that church where I went to preach and the Lord told me to give prophetic words before I preached, I had to ask that pastor's permission to do that before I could do that. And of course, he was totally okay with it because he knows me, but...
So, if you even desire to give a prophecy, how do you...
Perhaps it's not your gift. Perhaps the gift just hasn't been activated, which we're going to do later. We're going to do what's called an activation. Right. I always say everyone is prophetic. They just don't realize it. They always think it's their own thoughts or random thoughts. Once you have something that comes alongside of you and shows you how to do it, you realize that you're already prophetic. And I'll explain that and I'll show it along the way.
So then, I guess what's the distinction between it as a
discipline? Well, I guess we should be disciplined with the use of the gift. I think many of us do. I think many of us do. Because, like Paul even says, later he says, I wish that you would all prophesy rather than speak in tongues. We'll cover that in the week that we cover tongues. But Paul's pretty emphatic that he wants us to desire it, and he would rather that we all do that. And I think many of us already are. We just don't realize it. All right, so all of that was the introduction. Now, I want to focus on some of the ways that God speaks. There are two key areas that we need to grow in to understand these three gifts that we're looking at tonight. The first area that we need to grow in is hearing from God. Because if we don't hear from God, then it's just an opinion or statement. One of the things that drives me crazy as I travel in different places, I'll hear people give up and give a quote-unquote prophetic word. I'm like, that wasn't a prophetic word, that was a statement. God loves you. That's a statement. That's not a prophetic word. We know that from Scripture. You know? If we don't hear from the Lord, then it's just a statement or an opinion. So we must hear from God first. And then the second part that we have to grow in is delivering the message, what I call bedside manner. And I'll get into some stories and get specific with that, of how we can deliver a word with a very pastoral care bent to it, all right? Because sometimes you're going to get some words that are not going to be easy to deliver. And I'll share some stories. All right. Hearing from God. In order to have a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or prophecy, we need to first hear from God. We have to hear from the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we're just giving our own personal commentary, right? Like I said, everybody is already hearing from God. Many just don't realize it. You dismiss it as random thoughts or just your own thoughts. I used to think that I was just really intuitive until I had some Vineyard people around me that started to say, hey, no, you're actually really prophetic. I just thought I always knew stuff. Turns out I didn't. Yeah. Again, with hearing from God, some like to argue, where do you see that in Scripture? Well, here we go. We'll take a look at ways God has spoken, and it's recorded in Scripture. Now, I almost hesitate to do this, but I want to show you all of the ways in Scripture that God speaks to us so that we have an understanding that God speaks, all right? But what we're talking about tonight are gifts, the gifts of words of knowledge, the gifts of wisdom, and the gift of prophecy. So some people are just going to uniquely operate in one of these gifts, but there are a lot of ways that God can speak to any one of us at any time, okay, regardless of whether or not you have the gift. All right, the first one, of course, is Scripture. And I've included some other things. You know, Nehemiah chapters 8 and 9, God's word is read to the whole assembly, and a great revival breaks out. Clearly, God was speaking to his people through his word. God will often speak to someone. Even now, he might bring a Scripture to mind. So you might get a word of knowledge or a prophecy that's actually a Scripture that comes to mind for that person, but it means something to them in that moment. God sometimes will speak to you individually as you read Scripture. You're just reading along, and all of a sudden, bam, God just confronts you and hits you. So he's speaking to you through his word, of course. Number two, dreams. There are countless times when God spoke to people through dreams in the Old Testament. Too many to list. I used to have the whole long list of them in there, but there's just too many of them. Think of Joseph. He not only had several dreams himself, but he also interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh. The Magi in Matthew 2, chapter 2, verse 12, are told in a dream not to return to Herod. My wife and I, the house we live in, we live right behind the church back here in this big greenhouse. We live in that house because the Lord showed me in a dream to buy that house. And it was against all odds. At the moment, the house wasn't for sale. We just went and made an offer, and the guy sold it to us. But I had a dream to buy that house. And then after we had the dream, we had to wait 7 days to get an answer. It was a little nerve-wracking. I've also had dreams about the church. The Lord has, in a dream, showed me events that were about to take place in the church to prepare me for something that was going to happen. And I've also had several very demonic dreams that served as warnings of what the enemy was going to try to do. Number three, visions. And I list out a whole bunch of passages there. or where people in Scripture have had a vision. God can still give us visions today. The founder of the Vineyard was a guy named John Wimber, and at the very early days of the Vineyard, he had a very powerful and dramatic vision that he recounted in several of the books that he wrote. He was driving home from somewhere, and he's in his car, and he's driving along, and he sees an open-eyed vision right in front of him that was so real and so right there, he had to pull off the side of the road. He couldn't see. It was like the vision was blocking his ability to keep driving. Excuse me. It was that real. And the vision was of a honeycomb, a giant honeycomb, and there was honey dripping down out of it. And the people on the ground, some of them were like receiving the honey and eating it and relishing in it, and others were, oh, this is gross, and trying to get the honey off of themselves. And so John stopped and said, Lord, what does it mean? And John said, the honey is my presence. It's always available. Some will receive it and some will reject it. And so that's really what started John Wimber on this journey into the exercise of the spiritual gifts, was that vision. But it was an open-eyed vision that actually hindered him from being able to drive. Today, open-eyed visions will tend to be a little bit more rare, but God can still use them. We could still expect to see that happening. I'll tell you in a minute another personal story where I did have an open-eyed vision. Number four, hearing the audible voice of God. Again, I list a whole bunch of scriptures there where we see someone hear the audible voice of God in Scripture. Again, today this tends to be a little bit less often, but will still happen. If any of you are familiar with the Darren Wilson movies, it was Finger of God, Father of Love, Father of Lights. No, Finger of God, Furious Love, Father of Lights, Holy Ghost and Holy Ghost Reborn. One of those movies featured a guy named Robbie, and Robbie gave his testimony when he heard the audible voice of the Lord. Number five, true angels. Again, there's a bunch of scriptures there where someone hears from the Lord through angels. I have a friend of mine named Robbie Dawkins. Some of you may have heard Robbie's name before or seen him in the movies, those movies I just mentioned. Robbie used to pastor the Vineyard Church in Aurora, and he shared this story with us in a pastor's meeting once. Like a real rough, tough biker kind of guy came to Robbie's church one Sunday, sat through the service, got on his motorcycle, went home, gets back to his home or his apartment, whatever it was, opens the door to go inside, and in his own words, he said, his entire home was filled with an angel. There was like almost no room for him to come inside because the whole space was filled with an angel. And so he just kind of like stood there, and the angel spoke to him and said, go back to that church and do whatever the pastor tells you to do. So the guy jumped on his bike, tears back to Robbie's church, comes running inside, an angel, and Robbie's like, calm down, what? And he goes, there was an angel that told me to do whatever you said. And Robbie's like, all right, just repeat after me, and just let him in a sinner's prayer and let him to Jesus. And the guy ended up becoming a great member of his church. But it all happened because he saw an angel that filled his entire home. Number six, through the prophets. And again, Old Testament times, that was primarily how the people heard from the Lord, was through one of the prophets. Today it's going to be through the gift of prophecy, which we're going to be talking about a little bit more. And God will still speak to us through this gift. Today, the gift of prophecy is for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort, and we're going to cover that in a great deal in a bit. Number seven, Holy Spirit. Of course, we expect that. I got a few scriptures there. There's a lot of overlap between this and many of the others, because when God speaks today, it is through the Holy Spirit. So in the Old Testament covenant, God spoke to the prophet, and then the prophet spoke to the people. Today, we have people with the gift of prophecy, or the gift of words of knowledge, or the gift of wisdom, but it's all done through the Holy Spirit. So in our age, whenever we hear from the Lord, it's through the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 says, the Holy Spirit will be our teacher, and he will teach you things and remind you of everything that I have said. So we should expect to hear from the Holy Spirit. He is to teach us everything and remind us everything that Jesus taught. Preaching and teaching, Acts 2:14-41, Peter preaches to the crowd, and it says that they were cut to the heart, and 3,000 were baptized. So there's no doubt that God still speaks to us through good preaching and a good sermon. Number nine, songs or music. David playing his harp for King Saul to calm the evil spirit in him in 1 Samuel 16. The Psalms, many of which are songs that God spoke. Mary's song, Zechariah's song, in the Jesus birth narrative of Luke. Of course, God can speak to us through songs or music. Number 10, impressions. This is just a feeling or knowing, something that seems to come from outside of you. This is one of the primary ways that we'll hear from God today besides Scripture, and I'm going to cover this. I'll come back and give you some more details on this in just a minute. But impressions, you're just kind of getting this impression of something. And this is really a combination of some of the others. You'll have a couple of them all coming together to give you a word. This can be words or scriptures popping suddenly into your mind. This can be pictures or images popping into your mind. It can be a sudden memory, suddenly knowing how to explain something. Number 11, confirmations. Having something confirmed very clearly by another person. This is the way we can hear from the Lord, right? It's through confirmation. I've got several stories about this. Again, we're going to talk about the gifts, the people who have these things as a gift, but I'm just trying to help us understand some of the ways that God speaks to us. So this was many, many years ago. I still have my landscaping business. I had an early morning appointment. It was a Saturday morning, so I get in my truck and I'm driving to this appointment, and I was having some inclinations. I was having some idea that I was being called into ministry. It wasn't completely out of the blue, but I was still fighting it and wrestling it, that's for sure. And I'm driving along, and I had my truck only had an AM radio in it, so I had it tuned to Moody Radio in Chicago. That's all that would come in on AM. And some guy was on doing some sort of a talk show, and somebody called in and asked this guy, "How do you know if you're called into ministry?" And he gave number one, and he gave number two, and I went, "Yep," to both of those. And number three, "Yep." Number four, "Yep." And number five, he says, "People will start to tell you that, hey, we think you're called into ministry. People start to talk to you about it." I'm like, "Well, that's never happened to me. I'm off the hook." I had the other four solid, but the fifth one I didn't have, so I'm like, I'm clear. I'm good to go. I don't have that, right? Well, the very next day was Sunday, and I was scheduled to preach at the church I was at the time. So I preached that next day, and as soon as I'm done, not one, not two, but three people came up to me and said, "Tim, we really think you're called into ministry." And I went, "Uh-oh," and I remembered the thing from the day before on the radio, and I said, "Oh boy, now I'm in trouble. Now I got all five of them." So it's just one way that the Lord confirmed something to me that he was already trying to speak to me. And then my call to go to Mozambique, if you haven't heard that story, I had already been to Senegal, and I came home from Senegal. I had an open-eyed vision. I'll share that story in a minute. And now somebody had called and invited me to come to Mozambique to see about starting working there. And initially I had said yes, and then later I'm like, "That's crazy. I can't do that. I'm working in one country. I can't do another country too." So it was a Saturday afternoon. I'm sitting downstairs in our family room, and a magazine had come in the mail. It was something like The Travels of the Rich and Famous, something like that. And I'm just flipping through this magazine, not looking at it, just flipping through. I had a college football game on the TV, and I'm not really watching the game. And I'm rehearsing in my head how I'm going to call this guy back and say, "I'm not coming to Mozambique. I can't do it." But I'm just flipping through the magazine. I stop flipping, and I look down at the page, and in big red letters it says, "Next stop, Mozambique." And I went, "Oh, dang." Actually, I didn't say, "Oh, dang." I said something a lot worse than that. But and so we went to Mozambique. So anyway, the Lord just confirmed it through a very practical means. And I've got one scripture there too, 1 Corinthians 14:29. "Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said." Again, to kind of confirm what they're hearing. And then number 12, how do we know it's God? 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil." So we get to test and hold on to prophecies so that we know that it's the Lord. When you hear from God, not only should it agree with Scripture, but it should also fit into what we know about the character of God. This is one way to test a prophecy. I hear people give words all the time. I'm like, that does not align with the character of God. Sometimes people just make a statement, and it's not a prophetic word, but they'll say something that doesn't align with the character or nature of God. I don't, unfortunately. I try to forget those. And then Acts 17:11, which talks about the Berean Christians, it says, "Now they were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." So the Berean Christians didn't just take Paul's word for anything, but they examined the Scriptures. We can do that with any word of knowledge or any prophetic word. We examine the Scriptures to make sure this lines up with who God is and what God says. Again, those are just some of the ways that God can speak, but now I want to focus a little bit more on the actual gift of words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and prophecy. Remember I said initially there was two things. We have to hear from God, and then second, we have to deliver the message or bedside manner. So now, if you're in your Bible, flip to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, starts this way. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. So the whole point of prophecy is to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. This is the main reason behind why God will give us a word. And so whenever we are practicing prophetic words, we got to make sure it fits into one of these three: strengthening, encouragement, or comfort. Many times in Scripture, when God speaks through one of these various means or ways that we just looked at, he starts with, do not fear. Now, there's a difference between reverent awe and fear, right? God is not a God of fear, but of mercy and grace. Hearing from God should bring you a sense of peace or even brokenness, awe and worship or gratitude, but not doom or despair. Even when God brings conviction, there is a strange sense of his mercy and peace. God usually speaks to lift up, encourage, edify, reassure, restore, heal, or bring to repentance. And notice those are all positive. God does not speak to demean or embarrass us. Those are from the enemy. And if you hear would-be prophets talking like that, ignore them. When God speaks, this is not new revelation. Scripture is our highest and ultimate source of authority and revelation. When God speaks now, it is not to give us new revelation, but to encourage, edify, reassure, and or cause us to remember something that Jesus taught us. A prophetic word or word of knowledge should not feel condemning or demeaning. It should strengthen. All right, let me give you a biblical example. Acts 21, verse 10. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. Now, this word might not be real comforting for Paul, but it is preparing him for what lies ahead, so it is strengthening Paul. All right, you see that? A couple stories here. So, years ago, Amy and I were praying for a woman who had had chronic depression. She was a middle-aged woman, and she had had really bad depression since she was like 5 years old or 8 years old, something like that. And then we'd gone over to her home because she had little children, so we went over to her home to pray for her. And as we're praying for her, I had a word of knowledge. I said, do you have a really bad headache right now? Because the Lord had shown me that. And she goes, yes, I do. I said, all right, the Lord's going to heal that headache right now as a sign to you that he can take away your depression too. And in an instant, her headache was gone, like instantly. So that prophetic word was to encourage her and to edify her for what the Lord was about to do as well with the depression. And then I was preaching at another church once, and afterward I had offered to pray for people down front. And a man came up to me, and I'm going to cover this a little bit more when I get into the bedside manner part of it. And as I'm praying for this man, the Lord just shows me that he had a real problem with pornography. And so I just very gently framed that. I said, hey, are you struggling with pornography? And he says, yes. And I said, okay, let me just pray for that. The Lord wants to set you free from that. He showed it to me to set you free. And so I just prayed over him. 2 years later, I go back to that same church. And that guy comes running up. He goes, do you remember me? Do you remember me? I'm like, no. And he's like, 2 years ago, you prayed for me that I would be set free from pornography. And I've never gone back to it since in those 2 years. So it started out as a prophetic word, but it encouraged him and strengthened him to the point where he was able to walk free from that addiction and that sin. So before any of us give any kind of a word of knowledge or a prophetic word, make sure it fits into one of these three core categories of strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. So getting very practical, how do we hear from the Lord? This is David's question from earlier. By hearing from the Lord, I mean receiving information through any of our senses. And I've got a list here, and I'll give you stories for each one of them. We're just going to hear words. Like, you're just going to hear it. You know how you can hear things in your own thoughts, right? But you know it's outside of you. You know it's the Lord. You know it's not your own thought. After time, you just learn to recognize what's the Lord and what's you. Okay? And so you'll just hear words. And I remember, so I shared a minute ago that I, every year up at Green Lake, I would pray for people for the whole day. This is one of my most vivid and inspiring opportunities I had to pray for someone. It was a tall African-American young lady. She comes up to me for prayer. So I just put my hand on her shoulder, and I just start to pray for her. And immediately, I hear the word incest. And I just went, oh, no. What a great way to start our day, huh? And so I said, have you been sexually abused? And she went, yes, and started to cry a little bit. And then I said, was it incest? And she just started to sob uncontrollably at that point. This is where it's so life-giving. And then I hear she's never told anyone. And so I asked her, I said, have you ever told anyone this? And she's like, no, how can I? It was incest, you know? So she's been dealing with this for years and years and years now. So I asked her, who's your pastor? She told me, I said, I know him. Let's go find him right now. So we left the room that we were praying in, and I went and I found her pastor, and I explained the whole thing, and I said, okay, now you help her get free from this. She had been dealing for years with the fact that she had been a victim of incest and had never told anyone, but that day the Lord said, it's time for healing. And so he gave me a word of knowledge. It was just words popped into my head. I just heard incest, and then I heard she's never told anyone. And when you get stuff like that, that's how you're energized to keep doing that. Because now you know that this lady gets her life back and gets freedom. Sometimes you'll see mental pictures. Very, very early on in the life of this church, when we were still meeting in our basement, my wife had invited a coworker to come to church, and she was pretty much an atheist at that point. She had grown up Catholic, but then married an atheist and just kind of walked away from the faith. And after church one Sunday, I just prayed for her, and I just saw a mental picture, just clear as day. When I see it, it's like, isn't everybody else seeing this? It's just so clear to me. I saw a rope hanging down, and at the end of the rope, there was a knot. And I just described that to her. I said, I see a rope hanging down, and I see a knot at the end of it, and I feel that the Lord is saying, I see that you're at the end of your rope, but I put a knot there for you. Hang on. But it started with, I just saw a visual picture of a rope with a knot. Well, the next day at work, she tells my wife, she goes, like, that was the weirdest thing ever with your husband. Actually, she said it much more dramatically than that. But she goes, that week before, if I had said it once, I had said it 1,000 times. God, if you're real, I'm at the end of my rope. So she became a believer, and we baptized her and her kids. So it started out as a vision of a rope and a knot, because God knows. God had heard all those prayers, if you're real, I'm at the end of my rope. And so then he just gave me the vision of what he was doing. And again, that stuff's kind of exhilarating and exciting when we get to lead somebody to the Lord through a prophetic vision. Another one, I was up at Green Lake doing that thing, prophetic, and I saw this woman. I could see her, just a clear picture of her, sitting on the edge of her bed playing a guitar. And so I said that to her. I said, I see you sitting on the edge of your bed playing a guitar. You've got your music spread out on the bed. And she really started to react kind of weirdly. And I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, no one knows that, not even my husband. I keep the guitar hidden in the back of my closet behind all my clothes. My husband doesn't know I have it. No one knows I play the guitar. Well, God does. And he likes it. And whatever the rest of the word was. But I saw her playing the guitar, and I described how she sat on the bed and where she put her music. And she goes, that's exactly it. But no one knows that. But it was just a vision. I saw it. And to me, it was just plain as day. Another way that we're going to hear from the Lord, either with a word of knowledge or prophetically, is what we call sympathy pain. We will feel it. All of a sudden, you just have a strange ache or pain that wasn't there 2 minutes ago. And I know, as we get older, this one's harder to be reliable. Leslie gets it, right? It just gets a little bit harder to be reliable as we get older. But you're standing next to this, all of a sudden, you just have a really bad pain in your left knee that wasn't there 2 minutes ago. Just look around you and ask the person, hey, do you have pain in your left knee? Oh, yeah, I do. All right, Lord's going to heal it right now. When you feel the sympathy pain, know that God's about to work. That's like a slam dunk. You know he's going to do something when you already know it and feel it. So that sudden pain that you didn't have a minute ago, or that sudden whatever it might be, share that. Speak it out. Even here in church, you're sitting in church some Sunday and all of a sudden something hurts that didn't hurt before. Ask the people around you or share it with me and I can call it out from up front. Hey, anybody here having knee pain or whatever it is? It's almost a slam dunk that God's going to do something. We can taste, and that as a prophetic word. So I was praying for a lady once, and all of a sudden, I began to taste alcohol in my mouth. And I haven't had a drink in 30 years. So it wasn't like I had just had a drink or something. I began to taste alcohol in my mouth, and so I just asked her, hey, are you struggling with alcohol? She says, yes, absolutely. And so again, the Lord was wanting to set her free, but the prophetic word was that I actually tasted alcohol. There was another time I was praying for someone, and I began to taste blood in my mouth. Like, you know, if you're brushing your teeth or something and you nick your gum, you know what blood tastes like. All of a sudden, I start to taste blood in my mouth. And so I asked the person, are you having a problem with bleeding? Are you bleeding somewhere? And they said, yes, I am. So again, I knew it was a slam dunk because the Lord was doing something because I could taste the blood. Sometimes we can smell. Demons smell. Demons smell like a cross between rotten eggs, vomit, and sulfur. Maybe throw in burning tires. And if you're praying for somebody and all of a sudden you get that vomit, sulfur, rotten egg smell, know that you're dealing with a demon. The Lord is tipping you off that there is a demon there. Now, sometimes it might be a really sweet, perfumey, kind of like lilac fragrance, and that's the Holy Spirit. When you smell that, now you know the Holy Spirit is present and is about to work. I remember I was praying for a man right over here in this corner. He had come to visit me because he was an older man, but he was having knee problems. He wanted me to pray for his knees. And we're sitting right over there in this corner, and all of a sudden we could both just smell it. We just smelled this really strong, sweet fragrance. I thought, sure, the guy was going to get healed, but because we could both smell it. He didn't. He didn't get healed, but we could both smell it. Open-eyed visions, as I mentioned earlier, you're just going to, it's not like in your mind's eye. It's like real. So after I had gone to Senegal for the first time, I had come home. I was laying in bed one night. The room was dark. I'm trying to get to sleep. I wasn't even thinking about it. And all of a sudden, I have an open-eyed vision. And again, the room is dark because I'm going to bed. I have an open-eyed vision of the whole continent of Africa, but all the borders were fire and all the rivers internally to the continent were fire. And I'm looking at this vision going, huh. And then the Lord spoke and said, I don't want you to be concerned with one nation. I want you to be concerned with the continent. And I went, oh, great. And then the next day I got the call about going to Mozambique. So he was setting me up to say yes to the call by giving me the open-eyed vision. We can be reminded of something. All of it, you're praying for somebody, and all of a sudden a past event or something, you just remember this thing. And with me, oftentimes I'll remember a similar story or similar situation to what I'm dealing with this person. And I'll share it just to build faith. Let's say the person, you know, has a problem with their knee or whatever, and I'm like, hey, I just prayed for somebody with a bad knee last week and they're completely healed. I'll just share that story to help them build faith for their own healing. But sometimes how you're going to hear from the Lord is simply you're reminded of something. And of course, we can also just suddenly be reminded of scripture verse. You're praying for somebody, and all of a sudden, bam, a scripture verse just comes to mind. Just share that. It might not mean much to you, but it probably means something to the person you're praying for. Now, oftentimes, it's going to be a combination of these things. So what I don't want you to ever do is to get really hyper-focused on, like, I got to taste something or I got to see something. They usually come in conjunction with each other. Like, when I would taste it, then I would kind of get a word. Or when I would see the vision, I would get words as well. So they're going to kind of come all together. So what I want you to do is tune into your whole body and pay attention to every part of your body, all of your senses, all right? All of your senses. He can speak to any of them. He created your senses so he can speak to you through them. Now, hearing from God is not like a big booming voice like in the movie The Ten Commandments. David, this is God speaking. It would be so much easier. Sometimes it's in red letters on a magazine, next stop Mozambique, but then next thing you know, you're shipwrecked in the Indian Ocean off the coast of Mozambique. So when he does speak real clearly, it's because you're in trouble. So if he spoke in a big booming voice all the time, that just means that we're going to be in trouble a lot more. So it's not a big booming voice. It's often like feeling a feather. And I used to do this in this class, but I lost my feather. I had this big, huge, long, plumy feather. And I'd have everyone stand up and hold their hands, palms down, And I would just walk along and I would just brush this really plumy feather along their hands. I would make sure that it contacted their hand. I'd go down the whole line and only half of the people in the class would feel it. They was like, no, you never touched me. I'm like, no, I did. I'm like, okay, now this time keep your eyes open. And I would do it with their eyes open. I'm like, yeah, I don't feel that. It's like that. So it's not a big booming voice. It's the still small voice of the Lord. Now, as we're thinking about hearing from the Lord, trust the first thing you get. It usually comes quickly. People usually sit there like they're half constipated for half an hour. God's not fickle. Like, he's not going to, like, make you wait forever. Like, the first thing you get, that's it. Just go with it. Trust it. Now, am I supposed to deliver the message? Again, we're still talking about how do we hear, then how do we deliver? So how do I know if I'm supposed to give this word that I got to someone? Well, context is key. Am I praying for someone in person or am I praying at home? If I'm praying for someone in person, then I'm most likely to share it with them. If I'm praying at home and I get something for somebody, then really ask and check the Lord. Is this something I'm to deliver or am I just supposed to pray intercessorily for this person based on what I just heard or saw? So if I'm with the person, I'm pretty confident that I'm supposed to share it. If I'm praying at home and I get something, I'm just going to intercede about that for a while. Okay, I think I heard from God and I think I'm supposed to share the word. How do I actually share it? Don't ever say, thus saith the Lord. Rather, more like, well, the sense I'm getting is, you've probably heard me say that more than once. The sense I'm getting is, we don't live in the times of the Old Testament prophets that could say, thus saith the Lord. We put the onus on ourselves because we are fallible. God speaks the truth, but we might miss it because we're fallible. Does that make sense? Now, especially when we're starting out, sometimes we might only get one word and it might not mean anything to us. But when we step out in faith, God will come in behind with more, or the person will be totally touched by the one word. I remember when I was first starting to really operate in these two gifts, I had two stories. It was the same conference. I had been one of the speakers at a conference, and then we were all up on the stage giving prophetic words over the audience. And I saw a young lady right down in front. She actually reminded me a lot of you, Natalie. And she was standing right down in the front, and there was a young man standing behind her with his arms around her, holding her like this. But I look at her, and I get the word lonely. And I'm like, to me, I got just one word, lonely, and it made no sense because there was someone holding her. So I came down off the stage and I went up to her and I said, I look at you and I just hear one word, lonely. And she just doubled over and started sobbing. And I look at the young man and I'm like, what's up? He's like, well, we just got married, but we had to move away from my job. And so she's missing her family. She's away from her mom and dad and everybody. And she's just really missing her family. So all I got was one word, lonely. And it made no sense to me, but it meant a lot to her. And so then I could just pray into that. I could just pray that God would bring comfort and everything that she needed in that moment. So especially when you're starting out, you might not get a whole bunch. You might get one word. That same conference, I saw a woman standing way off to the side of the stage, and I looked at her, and I just heard one word. I heard hate. I'm like, great. So I get off the stage, and I go over there, and I'm like, I look at you, and I just hear one word. I just hear hate. And she kind of glared at me. She goes, yeah, that's how I think about myself. I hate myself. All right, game on. And so we just prayed for her and got rid of that thing. But I only heard the one word. But it meant a lot to her. Other times, as you step out in faith and share that one word, God's going to come in behind it and give you a whole bunch more. I remember I was sitting at the missions conference in Colorado once, and this young lady came and sat down next to me, and I just had one word for her. I think her name was Leslie, actually. And I said, Leslie, I have a word for you, and I shared it, and then this thing will happen to me every once in a while. I call it auto mouth. You think I talk a lot now? You should see when the spirit of prophecy comes on me. And I just started to go, and I just started to prophesy. I prophesied over her for 15 or 20 minutes, but it started with one word. And after the 15 or 20 minutes, I said, well, Leslie, what do you think? And she's like, that was freaky. It was like you just spoke everything in my heart for the last 15 years. Cool. Sometimes we may get a picture or a sense of what it means, but it can be hard to put into words. This will happen a lot. Just do the best you can to describe or explain what you saw or felt. Often, again, as you start to do this, the Lord will give you more clarity. But just do your best to just describe what you saw. Don't add to it. Whenever I've gotten in trouble, it's because I didn't understand the word, and so I tried to add to it. Be brief and be accurate to what you hear. Be true to the word, even if it doesn't make sense to you. Now, the bedside manner. Sometimes we need to deliver the word carefully. I've already shared a few stories like, hey, are you struggling with alcohol or have you been sexually abused? And ask it in a question. Don't make a statement. You know what it is, but take what you know and then frame it as a question. Hey, have you been sexually abused? Are you struggling with alcohol? But do it gently and carefully. And then this is a bullet point. Hopefully this is in your notes. I say this all the time because it's so important. God is showing me this or telling me this not to embarrass you or shame you, but because he wants to heal you or set you free. The Lord showed me this right now because he is about to set you free in this moment. Make sure they understand that the reason for the word is because God's about to heal them or set them free. Because then that'll take away the junk. If the person starts to feel shame, that is from the enemy and his attempt to stop or steal the healing that God is trying to do. Break off any shame. If you get any sense that they're starting to feel shame, break it off in prayer. Just command it to stop. But again, if the word that you're getting or the sense that you're getting for the person is real sensitive, deliver it very pastorally and very carefully. Try to frame it in the form of a question. A few other pointers to kind of wrap up. Be obedient. Think of Jonah. He was supposed to deliver a word to the people of Nineveh, and he didn't do it, and he got himself into all kinds of trouble. If God gives you a word, be obedient to do with it what you feel like God is telling you to do. I've had people tell me, oh, I used to be really, really prophetic, and now I'm not anymore. I'm like, okay, go back and be obedient to the last thing he told you to do, and it'll come back. Because when a gift suddenly stops, it's because the obedience stopped. We plateau in our gifting when we plateau in our obedience. If you want to rekindle a gift, just go back and be obedient. Be natural. Don't get goofy or start talking in King James English. I've heard people do this. I'm like, what on earth? Just talk normal. Just be yourself. Don't talk too much. Let God do the rest. Okay, so I shared my word. Now what? Ask the person if what you're saying resonates with them. Sometimes it'll be obvious. Sometimes there'll be tears. A lot of times the person will kind of, you see the head will just go down and they'll kind of like hunch over. And it's obvious that the word impacted them in some way. But ask them, what's going on? How are you responding to this? You'll hear me say this all the time. What are you hearing, feeling, or sensing while I'm praying for you? Because I want them to tap into all of their senses while we're praying for them. What are they? Because God's going to speak to them in some other way as well. So I'm trying to get them to tap into that. So you shared the word. Now check in with the person. How does this hit you? How do you resonate with this? How are you responding to this? Okay? Now, once you've gotten their feedback, you can pray some more. Take the information that they've given you. Now go back and pray more based on what they've told you. This is where the best fruit usually starts to happen. You've given the word, they've responded, you pray some more, this is where the magic happens. Now, one note of caution, don't get too excited here. Sometimes early on when what I would share was so accurate, I would get totally distracted by the fact that God just used me like that, and then I would fail to continue to minister to the person really well. I'd be like, oh my God, I just had this amazing word for this person, and they're still standing there like, help me, you know, pray for me. The follow-up prayer is so important. It's accountability for you. You can't just drop a word on someone and then run off. I remember that happened to me once. I was in South Africa. I was attending a conference, and I'm standing there with Amy. We're outside this big brick patio area, and this guy that I didn't know walks up to me, and when you get a really strong or accurate prophetic word, we call it reading your mail. This guy walks up to me, he goes, and he reads my mail. I mean, like, big time. And then he's turned and walked away. I'm like, hey, dude, God gave you that for a reason. Now pray for me. Why did he show you that? You can't just drop that and run. That's not how prophetic works. So don't give a word to somebody and then take off. If you're going to deliver the word, you have got to be willing to hang in there and then minister to that person and do what God is doing. Join God in whatever he's doing. Here's a great story from last summer, 2019. The Vineyard had a national conference. In the one that I attended was in Dayton, Ohio. The speaker had finished, and a lot of people had gone down front for some ministry. I was walking back to my seat, and I look off to the side, And I see a young man standing there all by himself. There was nobody around him. He's just standing there by himself. And the Lord just clear as day said, go pray for him. All right. So I went over there and introduced myself. The guy's name was Bing, B-I-N-G. He was a farmer. And I just start praying for him. And I had a few prophetic words, and I'm praying for him. And we're just having a good time. And then all of a sudden, just plain as day, I hear the Lord say he's anxious about cabbage. I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Really? That's a pretty big risk, right? To a total stranger. I think the Lord is saying you're anxious about cabbage. So I don't remember exactly how I couched it, but something like that. I'm like, you know, I'm just getting the sense that, are you anxious about cabbage? And I'm thinking maybe like he was allergic to it or something like that. You know, it made no sense to me. But as soon as I said it, I'm like, are you anxious about cabbage? Big tall guy, big shoulders, big huge chest. He's like, you could just see his whole body go over. So you knew you'd hit a mark. And I'm like, what's up with that? He goes, I'm a farmer, and I've got 10,000 cabbage plants that are afraid are going to die because we've had too much rain. Where he lived, they just had tons of rain. And he goes, if I lose these 10,000 cabbage plants, I might lose my farm. He goes, that's like, we're banking on this for this year. But how crazy is that? The Lord sees that this guy is anxious about his cabbage, and he sends me over there to talk to him about it. But there's a risk involved, isn't there? Hey, I think you're anxious about cabbage. I hope. Otherwise, I look pretty foolish. And so then I stayed there, and I prayed for him. I prayed for his anxiousness about his cabbage. I prayed for his crop. I just ministered to him, right? But then the Lord just started to give me more. Next, I said, you have three daughters. He says, well, we have five children, but three of them are girls. I said, the middle one, and I described his middle girl to a T. That's it. That's spot on. Then I said, you have a side business building furniture, and I described the furniture, the kind of furniture that he made. He goes, yep, that's exactly it. Then I described what the inside of his house looked like. And to me, it was just right there, just plain as day. I could just see it. And at one point, the guy's like, you have cameras in my house? But I'm hanging with this guy, and I'm still there because I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? I got the cabbage part of it, but what are you doing with the rest of it? So I started asking him more questions. Well, he really wasn't a believer. He had kind of grown up in a mainline church, really wasn't a believer, and he had wandered into a vineyard church somewhere in his area. And someone at the church said, hey, we're having this national conference in Dayton. You should come with us. Normally the national conference is like for leaders and stuff, but they brought this non-believer with to the national conference. And so what the Lord was doing was proving his realness to this guy. Because he was really very skeptical of God and didn't know what to think of all this spiritual gift kind of stuff. And so I just hung with him and kept sharing all these words. And finally, I'm like, so now, what do you think about God now? And he's just like, he's just sort of crying. And so I led him to the Lord right there at the national conference. And the whole thing, I just had to hang with him and just keep ministering to him. Because the Lord was there to just prove his goodness and his faithfulness to this guy. And it all started with, he's anxious about cabbage. All right, so that was all to make the point of you got to stay with the person and minister to them. Which leads me to my next point, which is kind of the opposite. Don't counsel them. This is not in your notes. Sorry, I added this into mine late. Don't start giving advice or opinions to people. Don't try playing armchair counselor. No matter what the Lord might show you, you still don't know the full picture of that person. Stick to giving the word and let God do the rest. Otherwise, you are overstepping your God-given authority in that moment. I just saw this happen the other day. Somebody went way off the rails and started counseling the person, and right away the person is complaining to me. Don't counsel. Just give the word, pray for them, minister to them, and then leave it in God's hands, all right? Now, the next one is really important. In this story, I think it might involve Leslie. I'm not sure. Don't force a word on people. If they don't receive it, don't worry about it. Don't force it. Blame the pepperoni. I do that all the time. If I'm giving a prophetic word and they're like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, well, I had some pepperoni for dinner. Maybe that's what's talking to me. If it's from God, he will either convict them or it will come to pass. And the best story I have from this is when I was leading the student group out at McHenry County College. I can't remember if it was when Leslie was there or if it was when Nancy or one of that other lady was there. Who followed you? Was her name Diane?
No, she was on staff
there. Yeah. Right. I can't remember if it was you, her, or Nancy, but one of them. So anyway, there was this woman who had come to the group, young lady, college student, really wasn't much of a believer, but I was praying for everybody in the group that day, and as I'm praying for her, I'm like, are you having a problem with a tooth? I was convinced she had a tooth problem. She's like, nope, I've got no problems with my teeth. Ha, see, all this stuff is hooey, and she made fun of me, and I'm like, all right, well, maybe it was the pepperoni I had for lunch, but I didn't worry about it. The next morning, she wakes up and has a tooth fall out. The next morning, she gets up and a tooth falls out. So she comes back to MCC and she found whoever, is she either, do you remember the story or no?
No,
then it wasn't you. Said it was either one of those other, Nancy or the other lady. She went and she found that lady and she's like, you remember when Tim had that word for me yesterday? My tooth fell. She's got the tooth in her hand. She's like, my tooth fell out. What's going on with this? She comes and she finds me and she's like, I'm like, I don't know. God knew it was going to happen. But in the moment, she mocked me, but the next day, the tooth fell out. So if the word doesn't fit right away, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. Just be faithful to the word and don't force it on the person. Don't make stuff up and don't fake it. Don't make something up just to have a word or to look good. It's okay to say, I got nothing. So that thing I do every year in Green Lake, people will travel. They'll drive hours and hours to get to Green Lake, Wisconsin, because it's in the middle of nowhere. And they've signed up for a prayer appointment with the great Tim Mingler. And they'll get there and I'll be like, I got nothing. It's embarrassing, but don't make something up. Just say, I got nothing. But then offer them a blessing. If you got nothing, just pray a blessing over them. Give them something. Now, what if I thought I heard from God, but I was wrong? What if it comes to light through some way you were just wrong? There are going to be times we totally miss it. I still do. Just take responsibility for it. Blame the pepperoni, but just own it. Don't blame them or don't try to make up something stupid. Just own it and say, well, you know what? I just got it wrong. It was the pepperoni. I've got a friend, fellow pastor. He always just says, I'm just swinging at the pitches, and sometimes I miss. It's a strike. But don't worry about it. Don't try to make something else up. It's okay to fail. That's how we learn. Don't blame God. Don't blame the other person. In the vineyard, we always say it's a safe place to fail. It's a safe place to fail. We get better through our failures. Fear of failure is one of the big things that will actually hold us back, but it's okay. So I just say this very emphatically. It's okay to fail. The vineyard is a safe place to fail so that fear of failure doesn't hold you back from stepping into it. And then practice just like an instrument. If I handed you a saxophone and said, I want you to become a saxophone player, you would have to practice every single day, wouldn't you? You're not going to just naturally pick up a saxophone and play like Kenny G. Just like anything else, we have to practice. And the more you use the gift, the better you'll get at it. This is, in a large part, something that is caught, not taught. If you really want to grow in this, hang out with people who are good at it. It will start to rub off on you. So every year when I go to that thing at Green Lake I mentioned, I always bring a couple people with me, and I'll have two or three people just stand right next to me and watch. And by the end of the day, they can do it. They'll just watch me prophesy for a few hours, and I can step out of the way, and they'll just start doing it. It's more caught than taught. Well, that's how you activate the gift. The gift is in you through the Holy Spirit, but sometimes it takes an activation to get the gift working. I think many of us do. Not everyone, but many of us do. Yeah. But it takes an activation to get it to start working. You're already hearing from God, you just don't realize it. And then when you stand next to somebody who's operating in it, you're like, hey, I'm hearing the same thing, I'm getting the same thing, I can do this. And then it just starts to flow out of you. It's just like a child learning to talk from hearing their parents talk. They already had the language in them. God had already given them the capability of speaking. They just had to hear their parents speak before they could begin to do it. So it's the same with the gifts. You just stand next to somebody that's, the gift's already in you, but you stand next to somebody that's operating in it, and then it just starts to happen in you, just like a child talking or a child learning to walk even. I got a few more closing thoughts, and then we're going to do our activation. God is looking for people who are available for him to use. So be available and be obedient. Push aside all distractions. The founder of the Vineyard, John Wimber, used to say we have to turn down the volume of our flesh to hear God. Putting aside your opinions about the people so you can really hear the Lord. This is more difficult the more you know the person. Like, I love to go to other places. I love to go to other churches or these conferences where I don't know anybody, because now everything that I hear, I know it's from the Lord. But here in this church, it's hard for me to do it because I know all of you all really well, and I see your social media and stuff. It's hard because I'm like, well, I already know that about the person. Or they think that, well, he already knew that about me. I love being in a place where no one knows you, because then it's really easy. So if you are praying for somebody that you know well, you just got to push all of that other stuff aside and just really try to tune into the voice of the Lord. The number two one here, John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard, used to say this: be nickels in God's pocket. Let him spend you any way he wants. And then John always used to say, I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? Expect God to show up and step out in faith. And I love that verse that we looked at on Sunday from 1 Samuel 10. It said, the Spirit of the Lord will come up powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. There's two really important points there. Saul couldn't become king until he received the gift of prophecy. Now, it was different here because this is Old Testament. This is pre-Holy Spirit, so I don't know if we can call it a gift or not. But until he received the ability to prophesy, he couldn't be king. And once he did receive the ability to prophesy, he was a changed person. He was a different person. But, like I said at the beginning, when you really get to the point where you're giving these really powerful words like, hey, have you been sexually abused, and are you anxious about cabbage, and you see someone's life completely transformed, prophetic is really, really exciting. And I've got so many more stories I could share, but I've just seen so many people's lives dramatically changed through a prophetic word. Okay, I know, I talked for a really long time. Any questions? About any of it? From either you or our online audience? What's that, Rich? What do you mean? Go ahead. Awesome. I'm sorry you guys couldn't hear that. I have it set up where you should be able to hear that, and it's not coming through for some reason. But Rich was just saying that he was looking for a place to store his fishing boat for the winter, and he heard a name. He heard the name Gilbert Bradshaw, and he called the guy, and the guy's like, yeah, I can store the boat. You know, where it all worked out. But the Lord gave Rich a specific person's name. Contact this person. All right, any other questions about how this works or how this operates before I throw you into the fire and have you try it? No, a word of wisdom is more understanding about who God is and the things of God and the things of the kingdom. Prophecy is more future telling, like this is about to happen for you. You're about to get a job. It's going to happen in 2 weeks. Any other questions? All right. I'm not sure how to have the online audience participate with this part.